MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A warm and friendly hello. Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Pearson, now a part of the VSIN family of podcasts, and we've got a great podcast for you guys. In segment number two, we are going to be joined by our good friend Carter Elliott. He does great work over at the Field of 68 and Sleepers Media. He is one half of the Unscripted podcast. That is a podcast that is based more around Michigan State and Big Ten basketball. And we're going to be talking a lot of Big Ten with him. We're going to be talking about how Purdue has come out this season and looks so gosh darn solid. We're also going to be taking a look at the Big Ten teams that are going to be in action on Thursday. As it is a relatively light Thursday card, but we do have some very fascinating Thursday action to dive into. Now, I did talk to him about Iowa before we knew that Chris Murray was found in a walking boot, so if you're looking to bet something right now before the line moves, you'll probably want to look at Iowa versus Iowa State. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink right there, but that's it. We're going to be talking about the Big Ten and also just going to get his thoughts on a few teams outside the Big Ten that he thinks might be able to have a good second half of the season slash really good rest of the season in general, as we're about 25% of the way through. So we're going to have that chat in segment number two. In the final segment, going to give you guys picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this college basketball Thursday as we hit some bang shots. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at @unit_81. Keep in mind, letters EM, naming does not matter. As per usual, please do send these into the timeline, and the other way, that's via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, we're able to fire whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Really did not get in any Twitter questions today, but we've got a few games for Tuesday to polish up. I have to do these recaps a little bit earlier with the Greg Peterson Experience now on VSIM from midnight to 3 Eastern, 9 to midnight, so I have to have everything all done prior to going on the air and driving into a lovely Circa where I do this show. So let's take a look at some of the games from late Tuesday and everything that we've gotten in college basketball on Wednesday. Try to find some trends and try to get to know these teams a little bit better.
A game from yesterday is Greg buzzing about. Here is the rowdy recap.
Speaking of Iowa, they lost to Duke by a count of 74-62 on Tuesday out there in MSG. Duke right now looking really, really good on defense. Kyle Filipowski, 12 points, 10 rebounds, and it was Jeremy Roach who was the Roach to this Iowa team. 22 points as for Iowa. You did have Murray in that game deliver 8.7 rebounds in 36 minutes, so he played darn near the entirety of the game, but right now he has been spotted in a walking boot. But for Iowa, just 3 of 16 from three-point range. Hasn't necessarily been a great three-point shooting team. Nevada, not necessarily the world's greatest three-point shooting team, but they got the job done against Pepperdine in what I think is a quality win, 85-77 on the road. And Nevada, they are now 8-2. They get a combined 40 points out of Keenan Blackshear and Jared Lucas. And for Pepperdine, you were able to get 18 points in this game out of Maxwell Lewis. For Pepperdine, they go 14 of 28 from three, and they still lose the game because they lost the rebound battle 39-37. They lost the turnover battle 13-10. And for Nevada, they went 20 of 24 at the free throw line as well. You did also see South Dakota State just continue their sad start to the season. They lose by 25 to a Montana team that stinks, 81-56. And for South Dakota State. 12 turnovers in this game. That's the equivalent of like 20 against another team with the way that Montana generates turnovers. And for Montana, they shot 57% from the floor, and South Dakota State 2 of 18 from three-point range. You did also see Marquette have a little bit of a tough time with NC Central, 90-78 the final in this one. Olivier Maximin Prosper, he was prosperous, 25 points in this game for Marquette, but take note of NC Central. They won 9 of 20 from three-point range. The Medley of Bacon, Brendan Medley Bacon, the best name in all of college basketball. He and Chris Monroe combined for 26 points and 15 rebounds down low. As for Marquette, they lost the rebound battle in this game, 34-27. For NC Central, done in by 16 turnovers, but you did have Justin Wright be Mr. Wright as he was able to give the team 18 points, won 3 of 6 from 3-point range. And speaking of the great state of Wisconsin, they did get the job done against Maryland, 64-59. You saw Bongo, the Bucks mascot, break a rim in this game. And for the Badgers, they didn't necessarily break the rim with their free throw shooting as they went 17 of 27 there, but they were able to get it done because they forced Maryland into 14 turnovers while they themselves had 8 turnovers for Maryland. They won the rebound battle 37-30 as it was Dante Scott giving the team 9 points to 10 rebounds in this one. You got 17 points out of Jamir Young as Maryland does go 10 of 24 from 3-point range. Wisconsin, though, they're able to just play slow, methodical basketball with everyone knowing their role. Sam Crawl down low, 12 points, 6 rebounds, and they were able to get it done there. And then taking a look at the slate for Wednesday, you were able to get a very solid win in this game by a count of 84-49 for Tennessee. They've really been able to do a nice job of covering these big spreads. And for Eastern Kentucky, a more up-tempo team, 6 of 35 from 3-point range. Tennessee won this game by 35 points despite going just 5 of 21 from 3-point range. They did go 31 of 41 at the free throw line, and they won the rebound battle 56 of 40. So both teams were able to put up a lot of shots, but yeah, still got an under because nobody was putting the biscuit in the basket. BK Nation pick of Purdue versus Hofstra under, unfortunately, does fall under 85-66. We were unable to get there because, well, these two teams want to combine 19 of 46 from three-point range. If you saw in the back half of the game, things really, really cooled down and regressed, but Zach Edey, 23 points, 18 rebounds, but Hofstra was able to knock down some shots. He had a massive performance from Amari Marshall, entered every 7.2 points per game. He went 3 of 6 from 3, knocked down a bunch of jumpers for Hofstra to be able to get to the window. And Hofstra is able to cover this game despite they had 20 rebounds as a collective. Zach Edey by himself had 18 rebounds, and Purdue won the rebound battle 43-20. So give a little bit of credit to the Pride as they only had 9 turnovers in this game, so they lived up to their name on that one. You saw Holy Cross actually give a good effort against Quinnipiac, 75-71. Quinnipiac gets a win, but Holy Cross gets a cover. As for Holy Cross, you had all but one of their starters be able to contribute 14-plus points with Gerald Gates, 17 points, 11 rebounds. This is actually a solid team, and for Quinnipiac, 2 of 17 from 3-point range. Thought that there might be a little bit of 3-point shooting regression coming in, and it did there. Davidson win but no cover against Western Carolina by kind of 72-64. As for Western Carolina, still having woes in terms of their offense against better teams, so Trey Jackson was able to pump in their 21 points. And for Davidson, just a wildly inconsistent team. They were able to get a massive performance from Desmond Watson off the bench. 17 points out of him. David Skogman, 17 points, 6 rebounds. As Foster Lawyer had just 6 points in this game, went 2 of 13 from the floor. But Davidson, regardless, they get the win, but they don't get the cover. You had one of the craziest games we're going to see all college basketball season long. 107-105, Miami clings on for dear life against Cornell. Not often that 107 points does not get you a cover, but there was no defense at all being played in this game as Cornell, they did a really good job of giving themselves second chances. They were able to haul in their 15 offensive rebounds, and Cornell won the turnover battle 16-7 against Miami. Miami bailed out by Isaiah Wong being Mr. Right. 36 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. He went 5 of 8 from 3. Miami is whole. They shoot 13-26 from distance. That's even 12 of 26 they lose as Cornell, they went 12 of 36 from 3-point range. Just a highly entertaining game in general. Notre Dame, they were playing a high-scoring one against Boston U, 81-75. Notre Dame gets the win, but they're unable to cover as Notre Dame. They go 9 of 17 from 3-point range. Cormac Ryan, 21 points, goes 4 of 4 from distance, but for Boston U, they cling into this game because they go 12 of 29 from 3-point range. Ethan Britton Watts was able to go 5 of 10 from long range, 19 points out of him, and when it comes to this Notre Dame team, they always do a good job of holding on to the ball, just just 8 turnovers for them in this one, but Boston U won the rebound battle 35-31 to be able to get the cover. Penn, thanks to a very late 3, they were able to cover all those 13s and 14s that were out there. Villanova, they win, but they don't cover. 70-59, the final, almost a very bad loss here for Penn. But with that said, with the Quakers, they go just 6 of 23 from 3-point range. Jordan Dingle was able to give the team his normal 25 points, but it was Andrew Laskowski, hopefully I'm saying that correctly, the junior who had yet to score all season long, that made the 3 to be able to get Penn to the window as Villanova. They go 10 of 30 from 3-point range out. They did go 18 of 21 at the free throw line. Penn 11 of 12 at the charity stripe. Very efficient game from Villanova with just 6 turnovers, but also lost the rebound battle by kind of 34 to 25. So Penn was able to get into the window there. Florida Atlantic, how about them just putting up a statement against Florida Gulf Coast? 85 to 53, the final for Florida Gulf Coast. 16 turnovers in this game. They lose a rebound battle 38 to 26. And for Florida Atlantic, despite the fact that they've been dealing with a few ailments, their main two guards in Elijah Martin and Michael Forrest, they were firing all cylinders. They combined 31 points out of these two gentlemen. And for Atlantic, 14 of 30. From 3-point range, an absolute sizzler in this one. Brown goes on the road, and they knock off Rhode Island outright. 59-58 the final, as Rhode Island's no good, terrible year. It continues, and, well, they went 5 of 10 at the free throw line, so they sort of made their bed there. They did go 7-18 from 3-point range, Rhode Island did, but for Rhode Island, they also lost the battle on the glass by a count of 43-35, as you had Paxson Wojcik pack it in with 11 rebounds in this one, and then 9 points and 14 rebounds out of Kalu Ayana, who had entering with 8 points, 6 rebounds per contest. So Brown was able to get to the window in a very butt-ugly game. Take note of Jacksonville. They get the win over VCU by a count of 73-62, as VCU was actually down in this game by as many as 15 points with 5 minutes remaining, and Kavion Nolan was able to have himself a nice game, 20 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds for Jacksonville, 13 turnovers in this game, and VCU had just 8, but for VCU, Ace Baldwin had an off day, he only had 7 points, Brandon Johns was able to carry the load with 20 points, but VCU also goes 5 of 28 from 3-point range, meanwhile Jacksonville 9 of 18 from distance with Nolan hitting 4 big ones in this game. And out there in the Big Ten, you saw Michigan State get it done on the road against Penn State, 67-58 the final. Michigan State goes 6 of 14 from 3-point range, and they do a good job taking care of the ball. Just 9 turnovers in this game now. Jalen Pickett, how about this stat line? 13 points, 17 rebounds, and 8 assists, but Michigan State still won the rebound battle by a count of 40-34, as it was Joey Hauser who housered the Penn State Nittany Lions with 12 points, 15 rebounds, and A.J. Hogard was able to come up with 23 big ones as well. Georgetown, a rare cover against Siena, 75-68, the final. This closed in a lot of places, 5.5, and with Georgetown, they were able to actually play a full 40 minutes of basketball. They really didn't have a letdown in this one. First time all season long has happened for Georgetown, as the way is that Kudaswab give them a double-double, 12 rebounds along with 10 points. You got Brandon Murray going for 20 points, and for Georgetown, just 10 turnovers in this game. Meanwhile, for Siena, 9 of 27 from 3-point range was just not going to cut it, as Andrew Playtech was able to go 4 of 7 from 3 for 12 points, but just not enough. And then St. John's, they were able to take down DePaul and dispatch them by a count of 86-67. For DePaul, they go 7 of 30 from 3-point range. They look to be getting Caleb Murphy back relatively soon, but he did not play in this game, as you did have, though, in this fold, 14 points off the bench from Zion Cruz. And for St. John's, very good day out of Joel Soriano. 17 points, 14 rebounds. Andre Kerbel, 6 turnovers to 5 assists and 15 points. Want to see the turnovers come down, but you know what? It's a ball team that they've really been falling on some tough times recently. We shall see if they're going to be able to recover at any point. There are quite a few games that are going down as I do this, as Seton Hall was leading by just 5 points at the half against Lincoln of Pennsylvania. And the only reason why Lincoln was trailing at the end of the first half is that they went 4 of 12 at the free throw line in that first half. We shall see how that goes, but that's not necessarily too terrific of a look. This is also not necessarily the world's greatest look either, as Dayton is right now getting completely pummeled by Virginia Tech. There's about 3 minutes left in the game, and Dayton is down by, I'm not even kidding here, 24 points, as for Dayton, just another really sad showing for them. They are shooting below 28% from 3-point range this season, and for Virginia Tech, got a double-double out of Grant Basile, who has 23 points, 10 rebounds as I record this with about 3 minutes remaining, so they were able to completely dispatch them. UConn and Florida is right around 4 minutes remaining left in the first half as I record this, and UConn is making yet another statement. They're currently up 30-17 as for Florida. I mean, we've seen them time and time again have a tough time in step-up spots at home, and it looks like that is continuing under this coaching regime, but let's call it what it is. This UConn team is just a heat-seeking missile, and they are just so incredibly tremendous. I'll probably have to polish up some of these games on the podcast tomorrow. SMU currently up double figures on Arizona State. That's a little bit of a surprise. And then some of the late games like Eastern Washington against Cal. We'll see if Cal gets their first win. That is yet to tip off, though. I do also want to throw in there that Colgate, a very good offensive effort against Binghamton. They were able to get the job done by a count of 81-62 on 10 of 21 three-point shooting with Tucker Richardson going off for 22 points on 4 of 5 three-point shooting. And if you're taking a look at college basketball right now, we are doing this with still a few games pending for Wednesday, but that said, if you're looking at the overall landscape of college basketball, home underdogs just continue to be white hot, covering at a 56% clip, 195, 153, and 6 against the spread. And overall this season, home teams have covered 52% of games, while dogs, they have covered more like 51% of games. And we have seen the unders be able to do a relatively solid job this season in college basketball, 721 unders to 684 overs. I think that there is right in that neighborhood of 15 or so pushes as well, but that said, we've been seeing quite a few unders thus far. But if you look at the last 7 days in college basketball, overs have been able to heat up a little bit more. It's an even 151 and 151 to the overs and the unders, according to our good friends at Covers, with one push thrown in there along the way as well. And over the last 7 days in college basketball, home underdogs 41, 33, and 1 against the spread, with favorites actually covering 50.5% of games. So that's what we're seeing in college basketball right now, and that's what we got in college basketball on Wednesday. Now let's talk some Big Ten basketball with our good friend Carter Elliott, who does tremendous work with the Unscripted Podcast. He's over there at the Field of 68, and we're going to be talking Big Ten and so much more next with him right here on Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now a part of the Decent Family Podcast.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Are you ready to become a winning sports bettor? Schedule a call with SBIA to find out how their service can make you a long-term winning player. They've developed an innovative algorithm that maximizes units return, and they are so confident in their system that they offer a money-back guarantee. Sign up by October 31st and get their MBA package at no cost until they reach 10 net units. They treat sports betting like a business. So if you want to learn how to make your sports betting dreams a reality, visit them at SBIA1.com and check them out on social media at SBIA Sports.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Ghost to Ghost Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Pierce, and now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. It is always a pleasure to have this man aboard as Carter Elliott is one half of Sleepers Media and the Unscripted Podcast, which you're able to catch at wherever you get your podcast. It's better centered around a lot of Michigan State basketball, but they really cover the entire landscape of college basketball and the Big Ten, as Carter does great work over there at the Field of 68. And I can tell you right now, we D3 guys need to stick together. Carter is a proud graduate of Albion College, a tremendous D3 school out there in the Midwest. So always proud to have this man aboard and to be able to follow Carter Elliott on Twitter. That is it. Carter Elliott, two underscores on the back half of that on Twitter. And Carter, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
Hey, thank you for having me, Greg. I'm excited to talk to you this time because last time I was on here, I think it was preseason. So we're actually into the season now. So I'm actually excited to talk about basketball we actually have seen up to this point instead of all the predictions and kind of forecasting that we had to do leading up to the season.
Absolutely. Now we've got a full month of game data under our belts as well. And just in terms of teams that have stood out to you, it could be in the Big Ten. It could just be nationally as well, because we certainly have seen a lot of hoopla thus far this season. Who have been a few teams that have stuck out, whether it be to the positive, they've really been able to surprise you, or vice versa, you're expecting great things, and well, the greatness, it quite frankly has not been there thus far.
Oh, well, you know, I'll actually stay in the Big Ten for, I think, one of the most surprising teams in the country. I think the people outside of the Big Ten and even people that follow the Big Ten, you got to start with Purdue. Currently speaking today, Zach Edey is the National Player of the Year. He is playing extremely well in a larger role where, you know, before the season, we weren't sure what his game would translate as far as him playing a bigger role without, you know, guys like Travion Williams, Sasha Stefanovic, and Jaden Ivey, of course. But this Purdue team has been one that's been surprising this year, and in a great way. You don't expect a team with in the Big Ten, let alone in, you know, in the country, to come in with a starting backcourt of two freshmen and, you know, play well to start the season. I mean, Braden Smith and Fletcher Lawyer have been great up until this point of the season. Zach Edey's been dominant. They've gotten, you know, contributions from guys like Brandon Newman, Trey Kaufman as well, Mason Gillis, one of the best glue guys in the country, and Caleb First as well. I really love this Purdue team. And if Zach Edey's going to play at this level, there's no one in college basketball who can check that man. He's absolutely massive, and he's efficient.
Oh, my goodness. Zach Edey, just giant of the earth, entering into the game against Hofstra, averaging 23.5 points, 12.8 boards, 2 blocks per contest. This guy has been absolutely tremendous. I am right there with you. And, I mean, it has been great to see what we've been able to get out of the Big Ten as well, because no question about it, we've seen a few teams that have been surprises to the positive and the negative. And we're taking a look right now at a game between Nebraska and Indiana that, as of right now, it is yet to tip off. When you're hearing this, you're going to know the result. But I've actually been really surprised about this Nebraska team. I'm not sure about you, but one of the most underrated players in the country, in my opinion, is Jarek Walker, because ever since he has come back into the fold for Nebraska, this has actually been a team that has been halfway respectable.
It's honestly been really surprising just across the Big Ten to see the teams that have been playing extremely well. I mean, you know, as well as I do, Greg, like coming into this year, people were down on the Big Ten. You know, I myself was down on the Big Ten. And this conference has really caught me by surprise. I mean, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Michael Shrewsberry and the Penn State Nittany Lions. I mean, they're one of my favorite teams to watch this year. They got a team that all shoots over 40% from three. Jalen Pickett is probably the best guard in the Big Ten right now, which is crazy to say, but this is a really fun team to watch. And then you know, Nebraska goes into Creighton and wins that basketball game with a great game plan by Coach Hoiberg, just kind of packing in the defense and seeing if they can beat you from the outside. And Derek Walker is a dominant post presence. So, I mean, the whole Big Ten has just surprised me. And it makes me happy because I think it's good for the league, because when the Big Ten's good, I think it's good for college basketball. So I'm glad that they have kind of put aside the doubts coming into this year. I'm not saying that the national champion is going to come from the Big Ten Conference, but it's a lot better than I thought it would be coming into the year.
I'm right there with you. I do think that things are looking up for the Big Ten. We've seen a lot of teams that we weren't expecting a ton from. I wasn't necessarily too bullish on Maryland. They take that loss to Wisconsin, but playing at the Kohl Center, very, very difficult, and they've been able to put together a nice year themselves, as Carter Elliott is joining me on the podcast. Does a great job over there at Sleepers Media. And I've been surprised by Rutgers and what they've been able to do. Now, it's going to be a tough test for them on Thursday as they go on the road face-off against Ohio State. But it's an intriguing matchup because you've got an Ohio State team that is one of the most efficient on offense in all of college basketball. Rutgers, they're one of the most efficient on defense in all of college basketball. This game being played on the campus of Ohio State, no doubt you got to give them a little bit of an edge because the folks are going to be filling up the Value City Arena. There is no question about it. But I'm very intrigued by this game because with Rutgers, I love the way that they've been able to just defend the arc, and then Cliff Amarui down low has been tremendous for this team.
The thing with Rutgers, too, is I was high on them coming into the year just because I thought guys were going to break out. Guys like Paul Mulcahy, guys like Caleb McConnell, and then obviously Cliff Amarui is a NBA-level first-round talent in my eyes if he unlocks his potential. They had some injury issues. Paul Mulcahy missed some time. McConnell missed some time. And to be honest, they weathered that storm. So, you know, they're a team that I think is going to get better throughout the year, and no one goes into the rack. And yes, I'm still calling it the rack. I will forever call it the rack. No one is going into the rack thinking they're going to get an easy win or anything like that. That's one of the toughest places to play in college basketball. And, you know, I love Steve Peichel.
Yeah, with this Rutgers team, it has been very incredible to see what they've been able to do all season long. And then, in my opinion, the most intriguing game involving a Big Ten team, that would be this Iowa versus Iowa State game. It is going to be at Carver-Hawkeye Arena, and this is a rivalry that dates back a very long time, with Iowa being the favorite in this game of about 6 points. But I take a look at this Iowa team, and they've really struggled with teams that are a little bit more defense-oriented. They very nearly lose that game to Clemson. They had a tough time with TCU, losing that game by double figures. We saw it against Duke a few nights ago at MSG. They just weren't able to get through that Duke defense. And for Iowa State, this is one of the best defenses in all of college basketball. Another team has been a pleasant surprise, finding themselves in the top 25. How do you see this one? Because this is no doubt for bragging rights within the state. And I think Iowa is able to pull it off outright on their home floor, but a spread of like 6 to 6.5, I would not be trusting in Iowa to be able to cover this number, just because I love the way that Iowa State is able to get after it on defense.
You know, a game earlier in the week when Iowa played at Duke, played Duke at MSG, I think you saw how Iowa can struggle with length and people being physical with them. Mark Mitchell, the freshman from Duke, did an amazing job on Chris Murray, just being physical with them, not letting him catch the ball. They were able to use their length. They had guys like Filipowski, Derek Lively, just using length to make them uncomfortable and throw the offense that is, you know, Fran McCaffrey has, that is, you know, when it's humming, it's one of the most beautiful things to watch in college basketball. I mean, offensively, when they're hitting on all cylinders, it's a thing of beauty to watch. But getting physical with them and, you know, using the length is something that can throw them off. And like you said, Greg, Iowa State's a team that can do that. Ocean in the middle is a guy who can just erase shots. They got a bunch of guys that are just dogs on that team defensively, and they can get up in you. I love Holmes, the transfer from St. Bonnie as well. Caleb Grill is a guy, he gets hot, he's going to start getting going, as University of North Carolina found out over Feast Week. So that's going to be a really close game. I'm definitely not touching that 6.5, I'll tell you that.
Yep, I do think that that is going to be a great game, as well as Carter Elliott, who does great work over there at the Field of 68. And Sleepers Media is joining me right here on the podcast. And we've got one other game that is involving two Big Ten teams that is going to be going down on Thursday. And this obviously involves something that we saw over the weekend. It's Michigan versus Minnesota, and a very strange spot for Michigan as they were playing in London, England a couple of days ago. So no doubt a lot of travel on that Michigan team. But that said, with Michigan, you saw Jalen Llewellyn go out with an injury. He is done for the year, and it looks like they're going to be turning to Doug McDaniel, the freshman for Michigan, figures to see a lot of playing time in this one. And how do you just evaluate this Michigan team moving forward? Because we have seen it with Michigan time and time again. They bring in these guys that were really good scorers at their previous stop, and then they become facilitators. We saw that with Mike Smith a few seasons ago to a little bit of a lesser extent. We saw that with Devontae Jones last season, and they were looking to do that with Llewellyn this season. So I think that that's a pretty big blow for Michigan, though. If it's going to catch up with them, I don't necessarily think it's going to be against Minnesota on Thursday.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how Michigan's going to kind of navigate this moving forward, because you're going from a point where Doug was playing probably at max around 10 minutes a game. Jalen Llewellyn was getting a lot of minutes this year, and now you're basically thrusting a true freshman. And with the other point guard options on the team, he's probably going to have to play upwards of 30 minutes. And now Doug is a guy who he's a winner in high school, winner, EYBL level winner. He's a guy who's a winner, makes up for maybe his stature, which is maybe smaller, but there's not a tougher freshman, I think, in the country. Like, that's a guy you want to go into war with. You would like to see him maybe get adjusted more instead of just kind of thrust it into a 30-minute role and just kind of letting him go. And also, I'm interested to see how he's going to fit in with a guy like Hunter Dickinson. That's a guy who's such a dominant post force and honestly is such a great passer as well. You want to surround him with shooters. Now, I wouldn't call Doug McDaniel a non-shooter by any stretch of the means, but I'm definitely not going to go as far to say he's a shooter. So we're going to kind of see how that works out. I could see Michigan also maybe giving some more ball handling duties to Kobe Bufkin, the sophomore two guard on their team as well, who, you know, from my time being in Michigan, I was able to watch Kobe in high school at Grand Rapids Christian, and he did have a little bit of ball handling acumen. So maybe he'll have some more of that moving forward, but this is a devastating blow for Michigan. Despite what Jalen Llewellyn was doing stat-wise, losing a point guard at any point during the season, a starting point guard of that, is never something that's going to be an easy adjustment. And with Michigan struggling earlier this year, it's only going to make things harder for them. So, you know, obviously Minnesota is not the toughest team in the Big Ten. I expect them to kind of maybe try some things that game and get by in that game, but moving forward in the year, they're going to have to figure some things out and guys are going to have to step up.
Yep, I agree with you. And I do think that this is actually probably the perfect game for Michigan to lead off with not having Jalen Llewellyn out there, because just in my evaluations of the Big Ten right now, I would put Minnesota just at the bottom of it. They're having a tough time getting by against teams like Western Michigan and company. So if there is a good time for it to happen, I would say that it's right now, because with Michigan, they play this game against Minnesota and then they play Lipscomb before they play a North Carolina team that has been very up and down, and that's going to be just before Christmas. So if there was a time to have an injury, I do honestly think that for Michigan, this was probably honestly not the worst time that they could have had this happen.
Oh yeah, for sure. Definitely some games that they could get kind of under their belt. But the one good thing for Michigan, at the end of the day, Hunter Dickinson's going to get you 20 and 10 in the middle. So you can be in a lot worse places.
Oh, I am right there with you. And joining me on the podcast, we do have Carter Elliott. He does a great job over there at Sleepers Media. And Carter, let's call it what it is. It's a relatively thin slate for Thursday. We've got 8 games that are going to be involving D1 teams. I'm sure that we can both appreciate one of the teams that have come up from the D3 level in the St. Thomas Tommies. They're going to be taking on Montana State. And you know what? St. Thomas has been able to have a relatively nice season, but we're going to be seeing a lot more action on Saturday, and we're going to be seeing a lot more excitement. But just in terms of the national landscape of college basketball, I know that a lot of people had their way too early top 25s, what have you. Purdue, as we both were alluding to, one of our biggest surprises of the season to the positive. Is there another team or two that you're curious to watch over the next week or two, because maybe you're feeling warm about them, you're feeling good about them, or vice versa, you're feeling maybe not so good about them, but it's still a little bit of the jury's out situation and you want to see another game or two before you make a determination on how their season's going to be going?
I think the team that I'm going to stay firm on this, I'm going to stay strong, and I know they have some hype coming to the year. They did take a couple of losses, but they had some big wins as well. And that's going to be the Baylor Bears, because guard play wins in March. And you give me a backcourt of Adam Flagler and Keontae George, I'm going to bet on that team. And I'm going to bet on Scott Drew every single time. I don't think anyone's going to want to play that team come March. They are built for March. Those guards are built to make a run in March. And another team that I think is also finding their way that people were high on coming into the year was Creighton. Obviously, losing at home to Nebraska is a gut punch. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. That is, highly as we spoke in Nebraska earlier in our talk, you're still playing them at home and you're Creighton. So that's a tough loss for them. But I still love the makeup of that team. Nebhard is just something about that family and point guards. I don't know if they have a younger brother or not, but if they are, make sure Michigan State staff is all over them. That family just breeds great point guard play. I love Baylor Shireman still. Arthur Kaluma, I think, is still getting back into form after his injury, as well as Kalkbrenner as well. And I think that Trey Alexander, though he struggled a little bit in some games earlier in the year, I think he's going to get it going. So I'm still not going to go all the way out on Creighton as well, even though they took some losses earlier in the year.
And with Creighton as well, when you've got a 7-foot-1 gentleman like Kalkbrenner that is now being able to shoot some threes, that's very beneficial for you. And to your point about Baylor, not so great ball handling against Marquette, but they were able to show some good grit in that game late against Gonzaga, coming back from down 7 with about 95 seconds remaining to be able to win that game outright. I think really shows a lot. And you know what else breeds some great talent? Another entity that always breeds greatness. That would be Sleepers Media. You and Greg Waddell do absolutely amazing work, Carter. I know you guys do the Unscripted podcast. You guys do a lot with the Field of 68, and it is always a pleasure having both of you gentlemen aboard. So let the good people at home know what's all on tap for you and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yeah, thanks for always having me, Greg. I'm always willing to jump on. You can follow all of our social media content on all socials at Sleepers Media. You can also follow me personally at Carter Elliott. That's with 2 L's and 2 T's and then 2 underscores at the end. And I'm actually very excited because this weekend, myself and Greg are starting the first leg of our Big Ten Roadshow Tour presented by the Field of 68. So we will be going to Nebraska on Saturday for a home game. And then on Sunday, we will be going to Iowa for a home game as well. So we're going to go see the campuses, see the sites, go to the games, get a feel for what it's like on game day. We got some cool suggestions as far as wanting to see places on campus and places in town. And we'll be releasing that on our YouTube channel, which is Sleepers Media as well. So yeah, I'm very excited for that. So definitely want people to be on the lookout for that.
Absolutely. And Carter and Greg do absolutely amazing work. And that is going to be a lot of fun because the Big Ten has home court environments that are unlike darn near any others in all of college basketball. So being able to see those is going to be tremendous. Carter and Greg, they do amazing work over there at Sleepers Media in the Field of 68. And it's always a pleasure to get those gentlemen on this podcast, much like we did today with Carter. Big thanks to him for joining me on Coast to Coast Hoops, part of the VSiN family of podcasts. Coming up next, it is that time of the podcast to give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this college basketball Thursday as we hit some bank shots.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Pierce, and now a part of the VSIN family of podcasts. It is always great to get a fellow D3 Hooper on here. Carter Elliott does amazing work over there at the Field of 68, along with Sleepers Media, doing the Unscripted podcast, which you're able to find wherever you get this podcast. We D3 guys always got to stick together, and he is balling out with regards to his insights and information and always does a great job. So a big thanks to him. Now it is that time of the podcast to give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this college basketball Thursday as we hit some bank shots.
Most financial establishments close at a certain time, but not here. It is time for a side and total on every game on today's betting board bank shots.
Do note that, as per usual, any changes that are made to these plays will be listed up on my Twitter feed at GNRS41. A relatively small card, but as per usual, we are going to be going in Las Vegas rotation order. This is where we go with the bigger conference games first, and then the games from smaller conferences are going to be at the bottom. The games involving smaller conferences, well, those two conferences are the America East and the Atlantic Sun. So let's get things started as we go to the great state of Pennsylvania for 871-872 on the betting board. It is Marshall on the road facing off against Duquesne. Duquesne is between a 1- and 2-point favorite, and your total between 151 and 151.5. And I've got a little bit of a flipper-rooney here. I did make Marshall the very slight favorite, with Marshall just been thoroughly impressed by them, and Marshall just frankly has more scoring options at this point than Duquesne. Duquesne might actually have the best scorer out there on the floor, and that'd be Daddy Gray, who has been absolutely tremendous for this team. He has been able to give the team 19 points. Comes in from Miami of Ohio, where he shot 34.5% from three-point range last season. This season, he is shooting well above 50% from three, but I do think there might be a little bit of regression doing for him. He had just 11 points in the team's last game, and for Marshall, you've got a great duo in Tavion Kinsey and Andrew Taylor. They're combining for 40 points, 11 boards, over 10 assists, 4.3 steals per contest, and they're combining to shoot more around 40% from three-point range. Obiana Onchili-Killian down low has been able to give you a block per contest, 5 boards, 8.5 points per game, and then been able to get 10 rebounds per game out of Micah Hand-Gallatin, the freshman. He's been able to do a really good job for this team, bringing it all together. Camden Kerfman, the VMI transfer, 3.5 assists. Canning, 40% of his threes. That was really the problem for Marshall last season. They've always been able to generate steals. They just didn't have a lot of three-point shooting. This year, they do have that. And with Duquesne, you really don't have a lot of rebounding. They've gotten nice production out of Austin Rotroff, who's been able to on their 7.5 rebounds per game. But really past that, you've been able to get about 5 rebounds per game out of Trey Williams. Tevin Brewer, you can tell, just has not been able to get online after he had offseason surgery. A combined 27 points in the last two games after, you know, Florida National last season. We're shooting 40% from 3, 15 points, 5.5 assists per game, so perhaps a little bit of brightness there. But that said, I do think that Marshall going to be able to generate some steals. I like the duo in the backcourt of Marshall a little bit more. I think that they win the battle down low. Semi-total 153.5. Marshall, a top 50 team with regards to possessions per game, an incredibly efficient offense in a game that I think is going to be tight, could involve some late game fouling. So I'm looking at the over, and I'm taking a look at Marshall as a money line underdog, set them as the favorite of 1.5 points. 873-874 on the betting board. It is Rutgers, and they're going to be on the road facing off against the Ohio State University. I say between a 5.5 and a 6-point favorite. Your total on this game is anywhere between 136 and 137. And I did set my total 134.5. I'm going to be willing to go under. Ohio State has never really been a running and gunning team. They are, though, quite efficient on offense, but we'll say defense leaves a little bit of something to be desired. Now they go up against a Rutgers team that ranks in the top 20 nationally in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis and should be able to win the battle down low with Cliff Amarui, who's been able to give you 15.5 points, 10 boards, block and a half per contest. With Rutgers, they can be a little bit streaky with regards to their shooting. Their shooting is collective 31.5% from three, but Caleb McConnell, Cam Spencer, they're coming out to shoot about 42.5% from distance at over 96% at the free throw line. Spencer has been able to give you 3 steals, 3.5 assists, 14 points per game, and Caleb McConnell, one of the best on-ball defenders in all of college basketball, missed the first 5 games of the season. He's back, though, with his 12 points, 6.5 boards per game, and then Paul Mulcahy, who missed a little bit of time. He returned for that Indiana game. He just does a nice job of doling out the ball. 4-plus assists in 3 out of the 4 games that he has played this season. Andre Hyatt is able to give you 5 rebounds per game. Now, Ohio State is going to be countering with Zed Key, who's been able to do a great job with 8 rebounds per game, and Bryce Sensabaugh might actually be the most talented player in this game. Freshman at 6'6", 14.5 points per game, shooting 47% from 3, and this Ohio State team can bomb it. They're shooting 36.5% from 3-point range. Sean McNeil comes in from West Virginia, 10.5 points, shooting 36% from 3-point range, and then the freshman and Bruce Sorton, 10 points per contest, 2.5 assists. He's been shooting 50% from 3-point range, bringing it together. Isaac Lukakele, who's been able to give you 6 boards, 3 assists, comes in from Oklahoma State. Not much of a scorer, but a really good glue guy. But with Ohio State, with how slowly they play, I do think that they're going to be just a little bit more efficient than this Rutgers team. I think that they're going to do a solid job down low, but this Rutgers defense is no joke. They have allowed pretty much 70 points or fewer in all but one of their games thus far this season. That was without Mulcahy and McConnell. So I do think that they're going to hold down an Ohio State team that really has been solid with their offense. Semi-total 134.5. I'm going to be willing to go under, and with Rutgers, I do have some question marks with regards to their outside shooting in this circumstance with the Big Ten in general. We found this out, ironically enough, with Rutgers. Very, very hard to win on the road. I said Ohio State as a 6.5-point favorite. I do like what Sensabaugh is able to bring to the table, and I do think that they're going to be able to get some production out of guys like Tanner Holden and company as well. So I'm going to be willing to lay 5.5 to 6 with Ohio State, sets them as a 6.5-point favorite and looking under as well. This is going to be the DK Nation pick as we go 875-876 on the board. It is Iowa. They are playing host to Iowa State. Iowa State anywhere between a 6 and 6.5-point underdog. Dawn's game is anywhere between 140.5 and 142. And the pick here is going to be on the points with Iowa State. I feel like this is a pair of teams that should be very equal on a neutral court. I set my line at 3.5. I awarded an extra 0.5 for home court advantage for Iowa, but I'm certainly willing to take 6-plus here with the Cyclones. They just play such good, tough defense. They rank in the top 15 nationally in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis, and we've seen Iowa really struggle against defense-oriented teams. They lost that game to TCU. They fell to Duke, and in those games, they weren't able to get past 70 points, and now they have to play against an Iowa State team that just held a very up-tempo St. John's team to 70 points, and on top of that, you could be finding some good value on this line as well, because it appears as though Chris Murray has been dealing with a little bit of an injury as he was spotted in a boot yesterday, and that's really going to be tough for Iowa, because With Iowa, this is a squad that they completely rely upon Mr. Murray, as he's been able to give the team about 19.5 points, 10 rebounds per contest, shooting 38% from three-point range, and you've got to wonder what else they're going to be able to bring to the table, as you got someone in Tony Perkins who's been able to give the team about 11.5 points per game. Nice little jitterbug guy, but he wasn't necessarily himself in that game against Duke, was limited to just 22 minutes. Philip Abracha down low, he's able to give you right around 8 rebounds, 10.5 points per game. But this is an Iowa team that they're only shooting about 33% from 3-point range. Do a nice job controlling the ball with the McCaffrey brothers, but they now have to go up against a tough-nosed team like Iowa State with someone like an Oshun. Oshun, who doesn't have gaudy numbers, been able to put up 10 points, 4 boards, shooting about 40% for 3, by the way, so he's been able to branch out there. But you've got Jaron Holmes, who does a nice job of being able to facilitate this offense with 15 points, 3.5 boards, 3.5 assists, stealing that per contest, shooting 40% from 3-point range. He's 6'8" combo player, and Aljaz Kunic has been able to give the team 8 points, 6.5 boards, 2.5 assists. He gives you right around about a half a block per contest, as well as stealing half per game. It's just a whole bunch of guys for Iowa State that know their role. It's a big rivalry game, so I don't want Iowa State outright in this spot. But with that said, DK Nation pick, it is going to be on Iowa State getting the points. I initially set this at 3.5, and trust me, with the Murray news, this is a number that I could easily drop to more like 1, 1.5 if he's out of the fold. I do think that he's worth multiple points to the line, and honestly, he might be worth more than multiple points to the line, so I think you're getting tremendous value right now. That is going to be the DK Nation pick, and I do think that this is going to be a little bit more of an up-tempo game. Iowa State, they're right around a mid-tempo team. Iowa may do a nice job of not turning the ball over, though Iowa State may rank in the top 20 nationally in terms of turnovers forced on a per-possession basis. Set by total at 143.5, looking at the over, and DK Nation pick getting the points with Iowa State. 877, 878 on the betting board. It is Montana State. They are going to be playing us to St. Thomas. The Tommies are an underdog of 6 points, seeing a straight 6.5 out there as well. Total on this game is between 143.5 and 144. And with this Montana State team, I did set them as a favorite of 7 points. I'm going to be willing to lay the 6/6.5. Not willing to go up north of 6.5, but willing to lay the 6.5 with Montana State. You've got down low Jabari Obello. He's been dealing with a little bit of an ailment and just hasn't necessarily been too sharp this season, but he was absolutely tremendous for the team last season, and I do think that he's going to be able to get back to form. 12 points, 6 boards per contest thus far this season. Was limited to 8 minutes in that Southern Utah game, so I'm not expecting him to be 100% in this game, but even without him being 100%, you've got Raekwon Battle. He is a good scorer for this team. Began his career at Washington, 18.5 points per game, shooting 35% from distance, and he has been on one recently, a combined 53 points in the team's last two contests. And to be able to tie it together, you got Darius Brown the second. He was super efficient while he was at CSUN 2 seasons ago. He had 10.5 points, 5.3 assists to 1.5 turnovers a game while shooting 37% from 3-point range. He's come in. He's been able to give up 5.5 assists to fear the 2.5 turnovers a game. Speaking of teams that don't turn the ball over a lot, St. Thomas last year in terms of turnovers on a per-possession basis, top 5 team in all of college basketball. Haven't quite been that this season, but now they've got Courtney Brown, the transfer from UW-Milwaukee in the fold. In his 4 games since he's been inserted in the lineup, 5.5 points, 3.5 rebounds per game. A guy that at 6'7" is able to can a few threes. It's really all about what you're able to get in the backcourt, though, on Riley Miller and Andrew Rode. These two guys have been able to combine for about 28 points. Rode is able to give you 3.8 assists per contest. Miller shooting 46% from three, and I think this is going to be going a little bit downwards. A St. Thomas team that, as a collective, shooting 40% from three, and they rank in the top 55 nationally in terms of points scored on a per-possession basis. They have been dealing with an injury to Parker Jorklin. He's been out the last 5 games, so you don't have anyone in the lineup that is averaging more than 4.8 rebounds per game, and that would be Mr. Will Ingles, who has been the top rebounder for this team. And with Montana State, though, Bello has been dealing with his injury. You've got Great Asabor, who's been able to contribute about 7.5 points, 4 boards per contest. He should be good to go in this one. And then you've got someone in Robert Ford III that, if you go back to his time with Idaho State 2 seasons ago, he was averaging 11.5 points, 7 boards, 3 assists per game as a little bit of a 6-foot, get-his-nose-dirty sort of little guard. So I did set this total at a 139. As a result, both of these teams are a little bit more shorthanded. As a result, Montana State has been playing a bit more slowly. Both of these teams very efficient, so you're not going to have a lot of run-out layups or anything like that. So what I'm taking a look at in this spot is the under semi-total at a 139, and with Montana State, one to lay up to 6.5 with them. 879, 880 on the betting board. It is Colorado, and Colorado is going to be playing us to Colorado State. Colorado State is a 5.5 to a 6-point underdog, and your total on this game is between 142.5 and 143, and I'm going to be taking a look at the points with Colorado State. I did set them as an underdog of 4 points, and with Colorado State, this squad now has Isaiah Stevens back in the fold, and I think that that makes a world of difference for them. Last season, when he was actually in the lineup and fully healthy, he was able to give out a little bit over 5 assists per contest, a double-figure scorer that was able to shoot about 37.5% from 3 and 90% at the free throw line. And in his 2 games since returning, 33 points, just 2 turnovers to 8 assists. He has looked rock solid. And then you got Jontone Jay, who last season he shot sub 30% from 3-point range on the road. At home, he was shooting more around 42% from 3-point range. He has balanced out those splits thus far this season. Thus far this season, in Drew Rowe games, he's actually shot about 43% from 3-point range. So he's looked good on that front. He's been able to give the team 15 points, 6 boards per contest, and you've been able to get some nice facilitation out of Giovante Jackson. True freshman is going to see his minutes slash a little bit in terms of facilitation, but even in the 2 games since Stevens has been back in the fold, 10 assists to 1 turnover in both of those. So very impressed there. And this is a Colorado team that has just been all over the map this season. You do have KJ Simpson, who's Mr. Do-It-All for this team. 16 points, 5 boards, 3.5 assists, shooting in the mid-30s from 3-point range. Tristan Da Silva at 6'8". He cans about 33% of his threes, 12 points, 4 boards per game. And then down low, you've got Javon Hadley, who's been able to do a nice job giving the team 7.5 rebounds per game. Still with a little bit of injury, but he is out good to go for this team. It's a Colorado team that overall, though, shoots 65% from 3. They turn the ball over 15 times per game. So in a tight game, you can't necessarily rely upon them doing the right thing. And Colorado State, they're a little bit more of a controlled team that has a 12-point per game score in Isaiah Rivera that I like, and Patrick Cartier. Good versatility with them at 6'8". It's come up from the 91 level. It's been able to shoot 41% from 3, and with Colorado State turning the ball over just 10 times per contest, I do think that that is going to be very key in this matchup. Colorado State, they're a much more efficient offense now that they've got Stevens out there on the floor, as they have scored 80-plus in each of their last 3 games. This is a Colorado bunch that they've been struggling with their offense, but that said, they are one of the more up-tempo teams in all of college basketball. Did set my total at 144 as a result. Looking over, and with Colorado, can I make them a 4-point favorite? So, taking the points with the Rams. 881, 882 is the last game on the normal Las Vegas betting board before we hit the extra games. Michigan is on the road facing off against Minnesota. Minnesota is anywhere between a 4.5 to a 5.5 point underdog. Your total is between 135 and 136. I did set Michigan as an 8.5 point favorite. I recognize the travel that they're facing coming over from England, and Jalen Llewellyn being out of the fold, that does hurt, but I do like our good friend Doug that we were talking about a little bit earlier with Carter Elliott as Doug McDaniel. He came into that game against Kentucky, and he looked solid in the minutes that he got. He gave out quite a few fouls, but he's someone that I do think has some upside. If you go back to the game that they played against Jackson State, he had 9 points and 3 rebounds in about 14 minutes in that one. Was already seeing a few minutes. I do think that he's going to be able to step into a role, and he's still better than what Minnesota's throwing out there in the backcourt. For Minnesota, Tavon Cooper has done a nice job doling out the ball, 7 assists, 11 points per game, shooting over 50% from 3. That is going to see regression, but for Minnesota, they shoot 55% at the free throw line. They're one of the slower teams in all of college basketball, turning the ball over 13 times per game, and then you've got Jameson Battle and Dawson Garcia combining for 27 points, 8.5 boards. You've had both of these guys be able to pop threes, but they're shooting at right around 30% from distance. You're able to get about 6 rebounds per game out of Ferrell Payne, but on the flip side for Michigan, you've got Hunter Dickinson, just a guy that is able to dominate a game. 19.5 points, 9 boards, 2.5 blocks. He's able to pop some threes. Kobe Bufkin and Jet Howard, I think, are going to be able to go into takeover mode in the backcourt and combine 25 points and a little bit over 5 assists for these two gentlemen. Howard is shooting over 40% from 3 as a 6'8 combo player, and then Joey Baker is able to be a microwave scorer off the bench. He's been able to shoot 47.5% from 3 now. He doesn't really do anything other than shoot threes, but he does a solid job there. And with Minnesota, once again, depth a big issue for this team. They have been able to get about 8 points, 5 boards per game out of Braden Carrington, a guy that is coming as a freshman and has been able to do a halfway decent job for this Minnesota team. But that said, Minnesota just lacks a lot of discipline. They get very tired. So even though you've got a Michigan team that they're coming off of their trip to England, I do think that they are still going to be the better conditioned team in this circumstance. I did set Michigan as a result as an 8.5 point favorite. I'm willing to lay it. Set my total at 133.5 as well for Michigan. I do think that they're going to be playing a little bit more of a slow style, and they're really going to be looking to get the ball inside and utilizing their size advantage in this game. So looking at the under, and I'm going to be willing to lay it with Michigan. Now we get the extra games.
The normal betting board picks are complete, but there are some extra games today, so we go into the bonus.
Got two of them today. It starts with 306, 685, 306, 686. You've got UMass playing us to UMass Lowell. UMass Lowell is finding themselves in most places as a 2-point underdog right now. They open up as a 3-point underdog, and your total on this game, finding it any between a 143.5 and a 144. At the two that I'm seeing in most spots, I would be just laying off and waiting for a little bit of a line move because I, too, set my number at two. So 2.5 or more, I'm going to be willing to take the points with Lowell. Once you get down past two, you get to a 1, 1.5, then I'd be willing to take a shot on UMass Lowell. UMass Lowell is going to be without Noah Fernandez in this game. Once again, they played without him in their game against Albany, a game that they should have covered on most lines. You were able to get the closing line value, and you were able to get the job done with UMass if you laid like 13 or so, if you took it early. Boy, that was a calamity. But that said, even without Fernandez, you've got TJ Weeks in the fold. 10 points, 4 boards, shooting 48.5% from 3, and UMass is old. They're shooting 37.5% from distance. They haven't turned the ball over, though, 13.5 times per game. They're a mid-tempo team that has quite a few guys down low. They're able to give you rebounds. Wildens, Levique, along with Matt Cross, they're both able to give you a little bit over 5 boards per contest. Cross, he's been able to give you 9.5 points per game, shooting 39% from 3-point range. They've been looking to RJ Lewis to be able to give you some production, 8.5 points. He's been shooting 43% from 3-point range. UMass, they're only shooting about 66% of the free throw line. That gives you a little bit of hesitation. And then for UMass Lowell, they're shooting 38% from distance. Now, they do turn the ball over 15.5 times per game, but gotta love this backcourt with Yuri Covington making 46% of his threes, 9 points per contest. Everett Hammond, 13 points, 6 boards, a steal per game. He's been able to shoot over 40% from 3-point range. And key for this team, what you've been able to get out of Abdul Karim Koulibaly. He has been absolutely tremendous. He was a former gentleman for Pittsburgh. He didn't necessarily play a ton of minutes against LIU, but still has been able to give the team 7-plus rebounds in each out of his last 4 games. Was a little bit banged up, but he's back to full force for the team. Max Brooks is a very good rim protector. 2 blocks, 10 points, 6 boards per contest. You've got a UMass team that they just flat out have a little bit more talent, and they are on their home floor. And with Ayinde Akeem averaging about 3.5 turnovers per game, that does put UMass Lowell in a little bit of a tight spot. But I do think that UMass Lowell could be able to pump up the tempo at his core. Frank Martin, a little bit of a faster coach. You saw that on display at South Carolina last season when they were in the top 50 in terms of total possessions per game. So I did set my total at a 144.5. I'm going to be looking over. And with UMass, willing to lay up to 1.5 with them. With Lowell, if I'm able to get north of 2. So 2.5 or more, going to take the points with the Riverhawks. And we wrap things up with 306, 687, 306, 688. Utah is going to be playing us to Jacksonville State. Jacksonville State between a 14.5 to a 15-point underdog. Your total on this game is between 132 and 132.5. I did set my total at 140.5. You've got two mid-tempo teams, but a Utah team that has been incredibly efficient on the offensive end, and it's all thanks to the Carlsons, as you've got Brandon Carlson, who's been just tremendous as a 7-footer, 13 points, 7 boards, shooting over 40% from 3-point range. And then Ben Carlson comes in from Wisconsin. He's been able to haul in there, 6 rebounds per game. Raleigh Worcester, he has been the best for this team. 12.5 points, 6 boards, 4.5 assists. You do have a Utah team that is now turning the ball over right around 13 times per game, but you've got Marco Anthony giving you 10.5 points, 6 boards per game, and it's a Utah team as a collective. They do shoot 37.5% from 3-point range, but Jacksonville State has always been a good 3-point shooting team, and they're bombing it at 41.6% from 3-point range with 5 out of their top 6 scores, making at least 40% of their threes. And the one outlier is currently out of the fold, and Amanzi Gomezi, there's a good chance that he might be able to play in this game, as he played limited minutes against East Tennessee State after he had a 3-4 game hiatus. But he's been able to give the team right around 12 points, 4.5 rebounds per game. But you take a look at Skylar Potter and Damari King, they've been able to combine for about 28 points, 2 steals per game. They're combining to shoot 45.5% from 3-point range. And then they bring in Peyton Daniels, who was a little bit of an afterthought at Vanderbilt last season. He has come in and he's been able to do all 3 assists, a steal per game. He's been able to do a nice job of being able to find guys in space, and has really been able to do a solid job of picking his spots in terms of 3-point shooting, as he's shooting over 45% from 3. The boards might be a little bit tough for this team, but you've got Juwan Purdue for Jacksonville State hauling in their 8 rebounds per game. He's been a nice little glue guy for this team. They've been dealing with an injury to Cam McDowell, but it looks like he's now good to go for the team as well after he began his career at Georgia as well. So you do have a Jacksonville State team that they've got a lot of good skilled shooters in this game. I do think that it's going to be a bit more of a control game, but I do think that both of these teams are going to be able to hit their shots. At my total at a 140.5, I'm looking over. And with Utah going to make them a 13.5 point favorite, I'm going to be willing to take the points with Jacksonville State, and that wraps things things up for the Thursday edition of Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Big thanks to Carter Elliott over there at Sleepers Media for joining me in the last segment. If you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you've got a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter timeline, at @unit_81. Keep in mind, letters CM, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline and the other way. That's fine, an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you're able to fire whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via the 5-star review. I'll be coming at you guys every single day throughout the season on this podcast. And these are coming at you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.